For Kappa, Kappa Psi, and Tau Beta Psi.
Hello, and welcome to Shell Talk. I am Morgan Haley, a clarinet and a sister of Tau Beta Sigma. Today we're going to be talking about some upcoming recruitment events and how the interviews are going, and we're also going to be talking about what the Razorback Marching Band is doing and what our experiences are in that. So we have a very well mixed group of the R&B here.
It's time for the highest to
I was told not to introduce myself.
Oh, no.
I'm just kidding. I'm trying to follow instructions, don't you understand? No. My name is J.R. Hinkson. I am the Associate Director of Band Finance, Marketing, and Operations at the University of Arkansas.
Excellent, J.R. Well, thank you for taking the time to sit down with us and have a little chit-chat. So if you want to elaborate a little bit on your title, because I'm sure that just sounded like a lot of business words to a lot of people, totally understand that. What is it that you do exactly with the Razorback Marching Band?
What would you say you do here? That's my favorite line from Office Space. The main things that I do, the biggest thing is all of your scholarships.
Yeah.
That is the overwhelming bulk of my job is managing the finances behind our scholarships, and that includes all the various accounts that they are held in, the endowments that they're held in, the donors who put money into those. So there's some client relationship stuff going on there. Managing the disbursements of them, making sure that everyone is actually eligible for their scholarship is kind of a big thing. So that's the overwhelming bulk of my job, but other things that I do include, I essentially coordinate all of our on-campus recruitment. So I host a lot of high school students when they come to campus. I host them for game days, show them around campus, do outreach with alumni, oversee our activities with the Alumni Association. That's the main stuff I do.
Yes, thank you. It sounds like the whole R&B should give you a big old thank you. Do you have any history with the Razorback Marching Band or either of our organizations?
So I am a member. I was a member of the Razorback Marching Band from 1997 to 2001. Actually, the marching band until 2000. I did my 4 years, and then my fifth year, my victory lap year, I was not in the marching band. But I was a tuba player for those 4 years. And my freshman year, I joined Kappa Kappa Psi after attending a smoker at the father of many of y'all probably know Aiden Smith, trombone player, right? Trombone? Was he trombone? I think he was trombone, yes. His father, Michael, was kind of one of those alumni who had been gone for a while, but everyone in the chapter still knew him. So they had a smoker at his house and went over there just to see what Kappa Kappa Psi was all about, and decided that it was part of a community that I wanted to be a part of because I'm from a small town. I knew that I needed a community on campus. So I joined Kappa Kappa Psi at that point. So yes, I have quite a bit of history with the organizations.
Do you think coming back after all these years, Kappa Kappa Psi has changed a lot, or is it about the same?
It has changed a lot, quite a bit. And honestly, there may be some grizzled old folks out there who don't want to hear this, but it's changed for the better. A lot of the certain practices, let's say, are not there anymore, what many would consider to be hazing today, that in my day weren't. But those are not nearly as present from, at least not from what I can see. If y'all do a good job of hiding it, if you do, you can edit that out. But, just the involvement of the organizations has changed over time, and it's great to see that they're still going strong. And certainly the inclusion of females. You know, back in my day, the thought of having a female in Kappa Kappa Psi would have sent them into revolution. But I think it's for the better. The inclusion. It's a much more inclusive, warm, encouraging organization, I think, from what we can see. It is more truly an honorary society now, which is what Kappa Kappa Psi and Tau Beta Sigma should be.
Yeah. So, JR, what would you say some of your favorite experiences within the RMB, both as a member or as part of the staff, are?
I think the most memorable, and it's kind of funny to say this on the heels of the Texas game when they stormed the field, but from my day was the 1999 Tennessee game when they stormed the field. And you can see the video of it on the Razorback Band Digital Archive at priorcenter.uark.edu. a little plug there for the RBDA. But seeing the fans storm the field, because the environment that you had around football then is very similar to what we have right now, where we're coming out of some dark times that have been very, very difficult, and you can feel that frustration and excitement has built and built and built, and then it just, a cathartic release has to happen so that you can just enjoy success. And we don't really know how to deal with success, so we storm the field. And that's just the best way that we can do it. So I think having both those experiences, both as a member and as a staff person, is great, because I can see it from the student perspective and I see it from the staff perspective as well. The traveling, of course, too, was a huge thing for me. Small town Arkansas, I didn't do a whole lot of traveling when I was coming up. And, you know, I think it was 98 for the NCAA tournament, I went to Boise, Idaho. When in my life will I ever go to Boise, Idaho again? Yeah. But to go with the Hog Wild Band, and it was fantastic. And I got per diem, and I bought an Oasis CD on that trip. And I listened to it over and over and over. And I just thought that was such big time, you know, getting to go to Boise and buy an Oasis CD with my per diem.
Let's go ahead and get a CD. Why not? Yeah.
So. That's so 90s. Yeah. I know, it's a CD. That's so 90s.
J.R. Hinkson, product of the 90s.
So, J.R., what do you think ultimately brought you back to the Razorback Marching Band?
That's a great question. Because my job, I was with the Walton College for 12 years. I ran a leadership program there. I was doing well for myself, and I love my job there. I was not running from anything when I took my position here in September 2019. But there's just that part of me that always, band was always my first home, and again, the community of it, that the community of band, that when I walk into Epley and I see y'all being loud and annoying and just being band kids, is something that I could not replicate in the business college. I did try because I created, I didn't create the leadership program, but I tried to grow it into something that had that same kind of fraternity, if you will. And I couldn't do it. And I always missed it. And my wife, works in Northwest Arkansas in the music industry for a local music company. So it's always been a part of me. Yeah. My wife was a band director too for a long time.
Runs in the family.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wait, that sounds wrong. Cut that.
But it runs in the family? Why does that sound wrong to say?
Welcome to Arkansas. Yeah.
All right, so as...
You don't have to cut that, by the way.
Not Alabama.
Let me tell you something. This podcast needs to be about long-form entertainment.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's about that. Keeping the people engaged.
Yes.
Welcome to the Lambda
Sister Wives.
Upgrades, people. Upgrades.
You ever seen the hit show Sister Wives?
our producer is wincing.
I could see the cringe in his eyes.
Yeah. He's so done with us.
Sorry, continue.
Okay, so seeing like you were in part of the marching band like I'd say 20 years ago,
Yes. Thereabouts.
Okay. All right. So
you were the marching man, let's say, decades ago when Bill Clinton was president.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. Go on. I'm just messing with you.
So 50 years ago when you were in
Were right. you and Doc Worthington close? Like, did he come over for Christmas?
From the time when you were a student and member of the Respect March Band and a staff now, how do you think the marching band has changed over the years?
I think, for one thing, the shows are not as long. Which is probably a good thing. If you go back to the archive and watch the... Man, I keep plugging it. the 97 year, we did a Star Wars show. And I rewatched it recently. It's 13 minutes long.
Oh, my gosh.
Goodness. It was so long. And it's like... I forget how many sets it was. But it took us forever to learn it. And I think we... You know, I'm not sure how many games we did it for. But instead of kind of rotating in and out a new show for each game, you know, we would recycle shows a lot more back then. Which I think to the fans, you know, to a fan that goes to several games, it might be like, well, I've already seen this show. So I think the product that the band is putting on the field is it's fresher each week. That is easily the biggest change. There's also the change of the negotiation in game with piped in music. there's a lot of that. So you have to kind of coordinate a lot more than we did with the stadium PA. There were a lot of times we would play over each other, you know, during games, and it did not go well sometimes. And now that universities use a lot more advertising during in-game sponsorships and things like that. Those didn't really exist in my time, back in my day. So I mean, those are easily the biggest changes. The instrumentation is basically the same. You know, we didn't use flutes then. You don't use flutes now. You know, but it is kind of interesting to see that when you look at like pictures from the. I'm really getting off on a tangent here. But there's a picture in the Epley hallway where someone is marching bells. Like they have like a harness and actual bell out in front of them. They're marching with bells. And you would never see that in 2021 in marching band. So it is kind of interesting to see. In some ways, the instrumentation changed for a while. But from, you know, my time to now, it hasn't really changed that much.
So you're saying there aren't 50 clarinets in 97 like there are now?
There were a lot, but no, there weren't. I think the biggest the band was when I was in school was 280.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so it was still a big band. I mean, my high school band was 27 people. So anything over that seemed gargantuan.
What would you say your favorite part of pregame is?
Okay, here's where my misty-eyed JR thing comes from. I actually met my wife in the Star Spangled Banner formation of pregame. So the tuba and she was the top bass drum, were as soon as I turned left in Semper Fi and marching all the way down, I would have to stare eyeball to eyeball with her for like 20 yards till I made my left turn to the front. So, you know, all right, I met my wife in the Star Spangled Banner formation. So I'll say that. She was the top bass. But of course, you know, the big A. How do you not love it? I do remember the first time doing the big A and how hard it is to march in step when 50,000 people around you cannot clap to the beat.
Yes.
And even just this, you know, this past week, I announced, so I was up in the PA booth and I watched the big A from up there. It is amazing how bad the general public is at clapping to a beat. You know, I guess as band people, we think it's not really that hard, but it's evidently quite difficult for the layman out there. Mm-hmm. But it's nice, you know, when you're marching the big A to, you know, in the Texas game when there's 80,000 people there, it's nice to do it versus, you know, the the doldrum days of 2019 when there were 30,000 people there.
Not even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us today, JR, and answering all of our questions.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Can I leave now?
The viewers can't see. We have him in chains.
He's handcuffed to the chair. Like, please let me go.
Can I leave now? Can you give me the key?
They pried open my eyes like Clockwork Orange, and I can't.
Every time he answers a question, we give him like
like a cookie. You get a treat every time he answers something.
No, this has been awesome. This has been a lot of fun. I could talk awesome. I could talk forever.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and chit-chat a little bit about your experiences and everything.
You bet. And I'm a sister now.
Yay!
Yeah, right? Yeah. Woohoo! Talking about experiences, that was a lot of fun getting initiated.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
That was fun.
Dr. Nine had his phone out.
Oh. No, thank you all for having me. This is great.
Of course.
Yes, thank you for joining us.
All right.
So the Texas game was a whole lot of fun. Mm-hmm. What were y'all's thoughts and feelings maybe in like the beginning of the game?
Okay, so like, I guess like I'm pretty sure that, Morgan, where are you from?
I'm from Greenbrier.
Okay, yeah, so I'm the only non-Arkansas person here. And coming from Oklahoma, all I'd ever heard about was the Texas OU rivalry. The Texas OU rivalry. I'd never heard anything about Texas and Arkansas being anything close to what would be modern day rivals. So we'd always said go Hogs beat Texas, but I don't think I really understood the scope of how deep this rivalry runs until it actually started and we got into that stadium. And it was the biggest and most fullest crowd I've ever seen in my entire life. And it was so intimidating, like, going on there for pregame, because I performed in front of a lot of people before, but never, like, to this scale. And it was kind of intimidating, but I just fed off of it, and it was just super fun going out there and performing for people.
Yeah. I remember during the national anthem set, as soon as we put our horns down, I was waiting for the whistles, and I had to really focus, because I was like, am I going to hear them? Are they going to, like, whistle? I'm waiting. I see Lorenzo like cueing people to get off the field so we can, you know, start the next set. And I'm just really focusing. And eventually I did hear them. They were very faint, but it was such a huge crowd. And, you know, that's something I know I'm going to look back on and remember very vividly.
Yeah, but I think that's a really awesome thing about band is that I didn't feel alone. Like, we were all going through this together. And it was, like, so unified that we were like, oh, my gosh, there's, like, literally 74,000 people out there. But we're unified, and we're doing this together. And it's not just, you know, they're staring at me, and they're looking at all the flaws that I'm doing. Or they're looking to see if my horn angle's great, or if I have a really bad, you know, like, stance. Like, my posture isn't good, you know. We do things as a group. And I think that's just one of the incredible things about marching band in general. So we actually had a really, really cool experience that we got to do that I really haven't been able to do with any other experiences, which was the Longhorn Band came and they watched us rehearse in the morning. And then we got to like sit with the Longhorn Band and we got to like talk to them and we got to meet some brothers and sisters and take photos and we even sang together.
Yeah, I was definitely expecting tensions to be high during that game when they came to see us rehearse, but you know, they were really nice. Even after we finished eating and we talked to them, they were all really nice. They, you know, welcomed us. We were all happy there. And, you know, it kind of really shows how much music and band really brings people together. I remember during rehearsal that, you know, we always start off with the Go Hogs, Beat Texas. And they started cheering for us whenever we said Beat Texas. And I found that extremely funny. But, yeah, it just goes to show that, you know, we're rivals and, you know, our fans may not really like each other, but with band, we're always going to support each other. We're always going to approve of what we do as bands. And it's just that powerful message that music brings us together.
It's really fun. Maddie was talking about them singing. I believe the Psy chapter, our chapter, sang the affirmation song with their chapter. Turns out after we had sang it, their members came up to us and they told us that they did not usually sing the affirmation song. So not a lot of them actually knew the lyrics, and they more sang the loyalty song. It's really cool to see how different chapters, even just one state away, can have different traditions. I feel like we need to discuss the storming of the field. Mm-hmm. Oh, were any of y'all part of the wall that was made around the band?
No.
Oh, Edgar has a really funny story to tell about what happened.
let's hear it.
So, you know, I was on the inside, and then our head section leader, Ryan Miller, a sister of TBS, he's just chilling there, and he's on the edge, and I could tell that he didn't necessarily want to be there, but he was going to step up, as Ryan does, because Ryan is amazing, and he was fully prepared to be in the wall. Then we have, is it Calvin, Jacob, and
was Eric. There anybody
else? Eric. Yeah, all three of them just go and help lead the...
all brothers.
Yeah, all these brothers help lead the fans out the tunnel, because it looks like there was an exit in our area, and there wasn't, so they would, like, trample the whole R&B if they went that way. So, you know, we built our little wall, we condensed, and then I switched spots with Ryan, and I'm a shy person, but I started yelling at these people to go through the tunnel. So you hear me and Eric just, like, taking turns yelling, go through the tunnel! Go through here! It'll lead you to the field! Go through the tunnel! Don't go that way! And we were just shouting at these people, and, you know, that adrenaline really kicked in, and ultimately, the band did not get trampled. We were successful, but it was just really nice to kind of get out of our comfort zone, to feel that adrenaline kick in, and, you know, at the end of the day, do some service to the band, protect the band, protect our members, our instruments, and just see the rushing of the field. You know, as I said, we were helping people, like, guiding them. I turn around, and everybody is on the field. Like, I was looking the opposite way, you know, helping lead people. There was nobody there, you know, maybe 100 people. Turn around, it is full. It is packed. And, you know, it all happened so fast. I don't exactly remember a lot of it. It feels like a blur. But it was such a nice experience. It's something I will always remember.
We love unexpected service for the band.
Also, didn't someone take, like, a water cooler down to the field?
Oh, yes. So, to elaborate, my favorite event that happened at Texas, like probably one of my favorite band memories ever, or band stories, is when one of these kids tried to grab one of our water coolers, like one of the smaller ones, and try to take it onto the field with them.
Oh, no.
And Dr. Lorenzo, who's our band director, literally sprinted towards the kid and, like, straight up wrestled with him, like, screaming at him to get the water cooler back to us, because I don't really know, like, how we would even do without our water coolers, how we do anything that we do. So that he's not an aggressive man, by the way. Like, he's very temperate. And so seeing him in that absolute just, like, feral mode of trying to get that water cooler back, fighting with this frat Chad, was just the funniest thing, I think.
Oh, my gosh. Did y'all see the video of JR, who was just here? Mm-hmm. A couple of girls got into the band section because they were trying to go through the tunnel, which was not the tunnel. So he took them by the arm and dragged them out of the band section and just sort of nicely threw them to the side.
When I first saw that video, I was questioning what was going on. Like, I don't know.
Man. JR, such a king he is.
I remember looking back and I see all the GAs holding on to Dr. Lorenzo's ladder. Lorenzo kind of scared to get up there. You know, it was time to sing our fight song or to play the alma mater. And everybody's just holding on to the ladder because there's so many people just around them trying to, like, either take a cooler or rush the field and find an exit. So that was definitely nice to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Texas band was crazy, but it's a memory I'm definitely not forgetting. So the Dallas trip, do any of you guys have any, like, specific just experiences when it came to the service that we did on that absolutely crazy trip?
I would say we unloaded and loaded that trailer so many times. We usually, for people that don't know, on a regular game day, we'll load it at BOM where we practice and then unload at the stadium. And then after the game, we load and unload. On the Dallas trip, when we drove down there Friday, we unloaded for our practice in Oklahoma, reloaded, got back there, went to Dallas, and then unloaded and reloaded again. And it was a lot because we also had to take everything that needed to go into the stadium half a mile from where we were all the way into the stadium and past a lot of security. But I'm telling you, being in that stadium when barely no one is there is the best experience.
One of the funnier things I think that I saw was just, I think since we're on, our football team is on such like a hype trail right now. Like we are just going after it, beating all the teams that like nobody was expecting us to beat. And like every seat in the Razorback, like all of the fan seats were just full, like from the nosebleeds up top all the way to the front row of the bottom, like just absolutely full of Arkansas fans.
Yeah, it was definitely a change seeing the opposing team's fans leave during the fourth quarter before the game was over instead of ours. So
yeah,
very true.
Big change there.
Even in the middle of the game, I felt like the A&M stands, just the bottom layer wasn't completely full.
Yeah.
It was crazy to see all the red and white on one side and then barely anyone on the other. Because technically, they had won 9 years, so this would have been their decade win.
Decade of winning.
Of defeating the Hogs. I got a funny story about halftime.
Yes. Uh-oh. Tell.
So before we went on, the Aggie band went on, and they did their spiel. And what we did our call to attention, and then we ran to our spot. As I'm running, I see this big metal piece on the field. It's like, what is that? So I reach down, and I pick it up. You can see it on the video. If you look at the 10-yard line, you can see a little band person bend down. What it was a Piccolo head joint. So some poor Piccolo, apparently, from what someone else told me, got nailed by a snare drum on their way back, and I think her head joint fell off. So I shoved that thing in my jacket pocket and then gave it to a GA, and then Tyler Osterman, our drum major and a brother, held it up during third quarter.
And everyone was going crazy. We were like, we got the head joint. Obviously, we gave it back to them, right?
We did not.
Oh, we're not?
I don't know if we need to cut this or not. But we did not. The Piccolos took it. And, I mean, I don't want to brag or anything, but, like, finders keepers, you know? We get to keep it, I want it.
Oh, my goodness.
Did any of their players from the Aggie band came to us after the game?
I do not know. You could see the Piccolo player who was missing it because everyone around her was playing and she was just twirling her little towel like they do. So I felt bad for her. So I gave it back. And then we kept it anyway.
Good.
Yeah, the Piccolo section was not the only section that got something out of that game. So,
oh no.
I know exactly what you're about to talk about.
The alto saxes, you know, we were loading on the bus and then Dr. Lorenzo comes up and he's like, is this anybody's case? And we were all like checking. We were all looking. We're like, that doesn't look like mine. That doesn't look like mine. And somebody from the Aggie band left their alto saxophone case out there. So now it's ours. And
you just keep it.
On the way back, they parked their buses next to us. So on the way back, there was a bunch of them trying to trade stuff. And I know a lot of people traded different things. One of the clarinets traded a broken drumstick for an Aggie hat.
What?
So if you actually, the clarinets have a TikTok. If you go on our TikTok, you can see every single clarinet wearing that hat. Mm-hmm. And it's a fun souvenir that's now going to be showing up at every band rehearsal.
Man, that's so fun.
I can't wait to see it on Thursday.
Man, see it on Thursday. It'll be incredible.
All right, so the halftime show for Texas A&M. How do you guys feel like the music and the show went? Like, you guys dancing, moving, all that stuff?
Man, I was dancing my heart out during Isn't She Lovely. I was channeling all of my drum core ability, and I was just taking it inside of my body. I'm like, all right, you are one of those 1980s, 1990s drum corps members just jamming their heart out during their ballad. And so I went in there, I got that second pose, and I was doing arcs that nearly touched the floor. I was kicking. I was having an absolute just hoot of a time because we don't really get a lot of time to like do that. Lots of dance moves, lots of action. So I was trying to take up every single moment of it. So that's kind of how it went for me. I don't really know about, you know, how it was on the other sides of the band, especially on the woodwind side.
The woodwind side was great. We were jamming out on that Isn't She Lovely when we all took a big step out and started dancing. We had a tiny kick line going. We didn't want to draw too much attention, but there was there was three of us doing a little kick line for about a measure or two, and then we dance, and there is a sousaphone right in front of me that every time right before we take our step off, he does a huge kick. Like, his foot goes above his head. I don't know how he manages that. And even though, like, during the halftime show, not all of our sets hit perfectly, though I have to say the Hog was the best set. That looked amazing. Mm-hmm. Not all of the sets hit perfectly, but we still had a blast.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I was jamming, you know. I was during rehearsal, you know, I kind of kept to myself, small movements. But I was feeling it in Dallas, you know, and I just went all out. So that was fun to vibe with. And as you mentioned, not all of our sets are always perfect. But this halftime show was much better. 2 years ago, when we last visited, it was also amazing. I love that show so much, but we have some sets that are not the most memorable. So it's a nice change from 2 years ago, just to see how much the band has progressed.
By the look of the stands, you guys were having a blast. And I think, I don't know who it was, nor do I remember the instrument, but one person on the field leaned back all the way back, almost touching the ground, and came back marching, continued marching. I'm like,
oh my gosh. So almost like a full-on standing back bend?
Yeah.
Full-on like, Ohio State.
They kicked their leg up, and then their back just leaning backwards, almost touching, like, not almost touching the ground, but halfway to the ground.
New note, that was Calvin Franz. That was brother of Lambda and the person who is hosting this podcast.
We have Calvin figured Franz. Out.
Our executive director, everybody.
Executive director, Calvin Franz. He's in the corner. And kicking.
He's
and
in the corner just dying.
Looking like, what's the Gumby? Matter?
I'm gonna come in on Morgan's mic real quick. Y'all didn't even notice that Will Rowe did a full 360 in the middle of that portion.
He did
a quick spin. All right, I'm out.
He told me he was going to do that, and I was like, there's no way. You get dizzy so quick and have such headaches, but he just did it anyways. He just kept going.
Oh, my gosh.
That's just your roommate. More of a difference.
I mean, there are some people that can kind of walk when their vision's just all around.
Yes. Oh, and absolutely. That is my favorite stadium to look at the recording in because you have that big screen right there.
Big old Jumbotron.
Big Jumbotron. See, we got some cool close-ups of us dancing. Oh.
Yeah, I cannot wait for those photos to come out. It's recruitment season again.
Woo!
What are some of your favorite past activities or activities that we are working on right now for recruitment?
One of the things that I always love that we do is the joint ice cream social because I just feel like it's so, like, anybody can come. It really doesn't feel like pressure because it's immediately after band. It's just right there. And you get so many people that just want to come get ice cream. And then we get more information about them and stuff. We can start inviting them to real things. But it just doesn't feel super duper pressured. At least that's the reaction I got from a ton of the trumpet players that went there. They were like, we love just super non-pressured recruitment, like specific events, if that makes sense.
I very much enjoyed the service informational. That was something that I loved participating in, you know, partially because of my role as vice president for service. But yeah, we got to show people around. We got to show them what loading looked like, stuff that we do that might not be as visible to the whole band. And it was nice to have a small crowd there view us and ask questions and interact. We also got to share some nicknames and all of that fun stuff.
Yes, this year with recruitment has been so much fun because coming out of a year with nothing and then all of a sudden everyone's in school, it's stressful. So it's hard to tell if people are going to want to come to these extra events for any reason. So getting people to come, it's always just you're worried that maybe someone might. But we've had such good turnouts this year from actives and from interested bands folk. So it's been super fun. The ice cream social was amazing. And the recently, October 3rd, this Sunday, we're going to have the joint field day. And we're going to have fun things like wiffle ball, kickball, cornhole. And it's going to be more of a bring your own lunch thing. And so we're going to have a picnic with all the interested bands folk and all the actives. So I'm super excited for that. So actually, this week, both chapters are separate. It's not joint until next week, but we're both having open chapter. So interested bands folk can come in and they can sit in our chapter and they can participate. They can't vote, but they can participate and see what we do during a chapter meeting and how chaotic it is at times. And I'm really, really excited for that one because I know I went to one. And it was a total shock to me of just how serious it was at times and then how they could just flip a switch and all of a sudden they're just friends hanging out. And it was really interesting to see that. And then next week, October 7th, is actually open joint chapter.
Woohoo!
And that is going to be fun. They can come in, they can see our joint chapter, and then they're free to leave after joint, or they can follow us to our separate chapter meetings afterwards, which is going to be super duper fun. And it'll be really, really chill. We're thinking about dressing up in some way, possibly. So that will be interesting to see.
If it's going to be Halloween style, then I should order mine already.
It's not Halloween style. What
Do I have to get my costume early? Amazon goes fast. They don't go that fast. But yeah. Do either of you two have experiences with like going to an open chapter or watching anything?
I never went to open chapter back when we were when you guys were recruiting last year. So
yeah, I just kind of showed up here.
Both are just kind of here.
Just turned up one day.
No, I
last interview.
So did I.
Goodness, I remember when I went to my first open chapter. I'd had my own idea in my head of what chapters were supposed to be like because I'm in another Greek organization and chapters are just boring and strict business and you're not allowed to have your phones. And chapter was just genuinely a really negative experience. So I was really hesitant to go to this open chapter because I was like, oh, it's probably just going to be really boring and nobody's going to be having any fun, yada, yada, yada. And then I showed up because I was convinced, I believe, by either Faith, who's my big, or Calvin. They're like, you should show up. And I was like, all right. And I went and it was just total 180 to what I'm used to for chapters. You know, there was chitter chattering all the time and people were making jokes and cracking up. There were brotherhood and sisterhood events and I was like, what's going on? They're playing bingo in the middle of joint chapter. What's happening? But it was one of the things that immediately was like, oh, maybe this is something that I would want to do throughout college. So I'm excited for all these new interested bands folk to come and they get to see what we're all about. You know, that it's not just, you know, it's not just strict, although sometimes it can be strict. There's lots of fun with what we do. So I'm very excited for that.
I'm just curious of what they would think about our memes on the slideshows.
Oh, man, don't mention the slideshow. I've got to do some editing. I have to do some editing to my slides on the slideshow. Because
it's either memes or cute pictures, and there's never any in between. Actually, we are doing, we just opened up interviews. So Tau Beta Sigma has been doing interviews for a little bit, and Kappa Kappa Psi just started Monday. And that's going great. It's really a get-to-know-you sort of thing. I've gotten to know a lot of interested bands folk. It's super fun to go and chat with them and see why they're interested in our organization. So we encourage anyone that's slightly interested or just curious to see what the organizations are about. You can interview for both organizations. Doesn't matter. It's not a full commitment, but it's a really, really fun way to get to know the brothers or sisters and for the brothers and sisters to get to know you.
Well, that's going to wrap up for today's podcast. I hope you guys did enjoy it well, with the fun content and with everything that has been going on throughout the month. Catch us next month for a new podcast. And without further ado, I think that'll wrap up.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
As brothers and sisters, we were called together.